And welcome to Pink Flamingo RV Radio, the voice of the RV industry. I'm your host, Tracy Miller, and thanks for joining us. Well, we would like to welcome you to this show specifically, as this is our last show of our very first year on the air. So without further ado, I would like to thank somebody who has helped get us there. It's the guy who has definitely helped all along the way. So much has been up to him as far as the computer work, the audio engineering, editing of shows, photography, special graphics, and website maintenance, things that are very important to maintain the show on a weekly basis for every one of our episodes. A very big thank you to my son, Austin Miller. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Man, this show has been quite the adventure, and I wouldn't trade anything for it.
You know, it's been good. We have had a ball, and we're going to be talking about that in the opening segment, that this has turned out to be so much more than we anticipated in the very beginning. The fact that we have been to so many shows, we have been to vintage events all around California, we've actually ventured into some other states, and the special guests that we've had on the show, all of the people who have taken their time to be with us, we can't thank everybody enough for participating and help us get to where we are today.
Oh, plus on my side, I mean, I've been able to take thousands upon thousands of photos at vintage events or the new RV shows. Plus, along with that, I mean, we've traveled thousands of miles just to go to these events, so we've gotten to see a lot on the way in this country. Plus, it's opened the door to us being bitten by the bug of the vintage trailer and motorhome hobby, considering now we have, what is it, 5 trailers and 1 motorhome and counting?
Yeah, so I don't know if that's a positive or a negative, but the reality is we enjoy it. We love being out with everybody. I have to go back to our guests and the friends that we've made along the way. There is a collaboration between those two in the sense that so many of those friends have been guests on the show. It is so much fun to go out to the events, run into these people, and I have to tell you, they are so big into the vintage side of things that this hobby just keeps growing. And it's great to see more and more people out there. Their enthusiasm is driving it towards all of the spectators that go out. We are happy to be a part of that because obviously people get to hear us. And when we talk about these events and the folks that we run into and our friends out there, it is just a great, wonderful world when we get into the RV industry. But it started before the show was ever on the air. And it started with 2 different groups of people. You want to tell who that was?
Yeah, these are our 2 sponsors that, yes, you're correct, they joined on before this show even was created. We had our first show going on. This is Unique RV out of Henderson, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Mario and Mike Certino, the father and son duo, and they've been in the RV industry for over 45 years now, and they do unbelievable work on any RV repair needs. And also, we have the Auto Collections, also up in Vegas. They are in the Link Hotel and Casino on the Strip. This is Rob Williams, and they have 125,000 square feet filled to the brim of every possible car. It's absolutely jaw-dropping every time you go in there. And like we said, both of these guys, they believed in us before the show even was created, and they still believe in what we're doing.
And, you know, it's not that they're just sponsors, they're friends. And we enjoy going up and visiting with them. They're people that we can sit down between the Shortinos and Rob Williams and even Uncle John when he's there. You know, you can sit down and just carry on a conversation with these folks because we are all in this industry for the same reason. So that makes it that much better, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's a good group of people and it never ceases to have fun with them.
And we would like to also let you know that we started out with a website and a podcast host company. We have now expanded to a new podcast network, which is Modern Life Network. They are helping us grow, breathe new life into what we actually do. They understand it because they do the same thing with podcasts. And we have now grown. We are now in a total of 20 locations. And to find all of those locations, visit our website at pinkflamingorvradio.com. At the very top of the page, you will find a series of buttons. Click on the locations button. All of those sites are listed. So if you have a specific area you like to go, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher, any of those locations are now on our locations button. Please go there. We now have a Pinkstagram page on our website. So for those of you who do not have an Instagram account, and I know there's a lot of you out there, you can see the same pictures that people see when we post on Instagram on our Pinkstagram page. So again, go to our website, pinkflamingorvradio.com. You can click on the Pinkstagram button. You will see not only the photos that we post, but also all of the captions that go along with. And we now have an advertising page. So for anyone who wants to reach out to our ever-growing worldwide audience, we encourage you, get a hold of us. You can do that through our email at pinkflamingorvradio@gmail.com. We would love to have you as a part of the show. And one of the things that we are very proud of is the fact that we have teamed up with For Veterans Sake Foundation. We knew from the very beginning we wanted to do something to honor our veterans, and this was a way for Pink Flamingo RV Radio to acknowledge not only our military veterans, but also our current service personnel. There are a lot of folks out there, whether previous military or current military, who need some assistance and guidance for either PTSD or even traumatic brain injuries, and help is being offered by For Veterans Sake Foundation in treatment and in service dog. So here at Pink Flamingo RV Radio, we are proud to be able to say that we support our military, not only their service, but their sacrifice, whether it comes to the family or the ultimate sacrifice for those that don't make it back. For many of our service personnel, they are now RVers. So if we can reach one or two on a regular basis and they receive the help that they need, we feel we've done our job. So they can reach out to For Veterans Sake Foundation and give them a holler. So, to all of our audience, all of the RVers that are out there, we thank you for listening on a regular basis to Pink Flamingo RV Radio. We truly appreciate you being a part of our show. Please travel safe, enjoy the RV lifestyle, stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Modern Life Podcast Network focuses on technology, lifestyle, business, sports, and culture. Our modern lives can be hectic, demanding one day and relaxing the next. Our hosts discuss the issues facing our modern lives and provide the answers and ideas to make the journey through life and business a bit easier. Find your new favorite podcast at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Modern issues, modern discussions.
And welcome back. Well, while we were out at the Pismo Vintage Trailer Rally, which was at the Pismo Coast Village RV Resort in Pismo Beach, California, absolutely gorgeous location. You guys need to get out there. If nobody has ever been there before, this is a show you want to go to next year. Most of the show revolves around vintage trailers, hence the name of the rally. It is a vintage trailer rally. However, there are a variety of other RVs that show up out there, and there were a few when it came to the category of motorhomes. One specifically stood out, and it was maybe one of five motorhomes that was at the show, but it had a very distinct look and build. There was a line of people waiting to get inside from everything we saw all day. Very, very unique on the inside as well as the out. But without me speculating any more on the details of what it was, where it came from, how it began its life, we are pleased to have the owners and the builders on the phone with us right now, and that happens to be Jerry and Shar Apple. Jerry, Shar, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey, we appreciate you guys doing this. Look, you guys know this better than anybody. It is a yellow coach from its original branding name. I don't even know what that was to begin with. Was it a transportation bus? Was it something used in a national park? And I don't even know the year of it. So can you give us a little background on it?
Okay, originally it was a 1937 yellow coach. It was a 21-passenger city bus that was built by General Motors. And it was converted into a motorhome from what we can figure, probably sometime in the 40s. And then we acquired it and went back through it and redid it.
Okay, so let me ask, if it was a conversion back in the 40s, how much of that was left or usable, or did you completely gut it and start from scratch?
We gutted everything. I mean, everything. The roof is original.
Wow. So as a passenger bus, then...
Oh, the roof and the heater.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, good.
My wife can get rid of the heater. She loved the heater.
I don't blame you. It's nice to stay warm. So that being a passenger bus in its original life, it had windows down the side. You obviously have reskinned some of that outside then.
Well, yeah, it was rather crudely done originally, and we upgraded that when we stripped everything off of it. We did it a little bit differently than what had been originally done, and to make it look the way it looks now.
Well, you did such a nice conversion on it. It was hard to tell what was old, what was new, because it blended so well as far as the entire build goes. So let me ask, How long have you had it? How long did it take for the build from the ground up that you guys did on it? And was it worth the effort? Because from the popularity I saw, I would say yes.
Well, we have actually owned it for, I don't know, 7, 8 years, yeah. 9 years, I don't know. We actually bought the bus with the idea of making it a tow vehicle for our, we have a wood boat that we show.
Oh,
so
nice.
That was the idea of it, was to use it for a tow vehicle. And then when we got done with the boat, I actually started working on the bus. And it took from the time we actually started on the bus until we actually had it on the road, I work on it in the wintertime. I bring it in the shop and work on it in the wintertime. And it was about 3 years before we had it on the road. It wasn't completely functional at that time, but it was going down the road, and we used it.
Wow, good for you. I mean, that's a long build, you know, when you've only got little bits of time here and there to work on it. But you guys have some cold winters, so I understand taking it into the shop and working on it in there. But, you know, it's not just the outside that was so pretty. It was the inside. And I think what really sets it apart from a lot of the vintage that you see, you had big, heavy lumber. There was big pieces of wood in there. And, Shar, I overheard you telling someone the story behind it, that was all local wood that you guys had cut, I believe, and then you turned it into the interior?
Yep, it was leftover juniper that we used in the apartment and used it for all the doors and in front of the cupboards and just filled it in around all of the oak.
It was actually wood that we had cut down around Flathead Lake in Montana. It's a native wood that grows around the lake here. And it's kind of an ugly looking tree, but it's got really beautiful wood once you cut it down.
Oh, I'm telling you, the finish look on it was absolutely gorgeous. Now, is that a hardwood then?
Well, it's not a hardwood, and it's not a softwood, and it's real brittle, and it's really hard to work with.
Well, you pulled it off because the interior was absolutely gorgeous. And I know everybody that came in was commenting about, God, look at the wood that's in this thing. And it's such a different view of, you know, the birch and the maple that you see in a lot of the vintage RVs. So that was a standout point inside. I have to ask, though, Shar, were you in charge of the decorating and all the design inside?
Of course.
Well, you did an excellent job on it. Were you guys going for like a cabin-y look or a lodge, or what was it? Because it kind of had all those aspects of it.
Yeah, we just wanted it to kind of look like it was from the 30s.
Well, I think you pulled that off without a problem. Now, here was the very unique part, and that was once it fired up, it doesn't have the stock drivetrain in it anymore, does it?
No.
So I assume it was a small gas motor originally?
Well, it was originally a GMC 6 owner motor from 1937.
Okay.
And when we got it, I decided that I didn't want people waiting on me growing up. So I had purchased a 91 Dodge one-ton dually with a 5.9 Cummins, which they call the 12-valve. And I pulled that up in front of the shop and took it all apart and drug it in and put it in there.
Wow. You know, it sounded like the Dodge motor when you fired it, or that Cummins motor when you fired it up. What a very good sound. And it got everybody's attention as you were driving it.
Yeah, it runs very well. We're very happy with it. We get really good gas mileage, or fuel mileage with it, I guess you'd say. And it pulls very well, and we're happy with it, really happy with it.
Okay, well, you say good fuel mileage for something of its size, because, folks, you can look at the pictures that we have online with it right now that correspond with the interview. It's a pretty good-sized unit, so going down the road, what are you pulling for mileage?
Well, we're running anywhere from 18 to 19.
Do you really? That's amazing.
We'll do about the same thing. You know, pull it. We got it. When we pull the boat, we'll do about the same thing. You know, I've run 18 and a half, 19 miles a gallon pulling the boat even. So.
Wow, so the motor's not even working hard pulling you down the road.
No, it doesn't work real hard at all. I've got real tall gears. The only time the motor's really working is on the long, you know, tall grades and stuff. And then that will slow me down just a little bit. And I just drop a gear and take my time to get over it. But on the flats or anywhere else, if it's not a big grade, you're not going to slow me down.
Wow, that's awesome. Oh, okay, another unique factor was it's got duals on the back, which for a lot of the vintage motorhomes back in the day, they always had singles on the rear. Occasionally you'd see a dual, but this really makes it look big and bulky as it's driving away. I think that's one of the things that was so appealing to it, or to us anyway, was the fact that it didn't have that real streamlined look. It looked like it was so wide in the hips, and it had just, you know, a big, massive appearance out on the road. Do you get a lot of comments about the fact that it is a dually?
Well, it was originally a dually, but it wasn't as wide as it is. When I put this rear end in here, I actually widened the rear fenders out. I think it was 4 inches on either side, and then the front fenders, I didn't like the look of those, so I stuffed those back in an inch on either side to give it the look that it has right now.
Interesting. But, you're kind of a custom car guy when it comes to the old motorhome then.
He's learning.
Oh, nice work. Okay, we've only got about a minute or so left here. I just wanted to touch on a couple other things. It comes down to detail a lot of the times, and I heard so many people when they walk in mention the steering wheel. That is a unique wheel. What did that come out of?
That steering wheel is out of a 1940 Chevrolet. It's a special. I think it was a special order for 1940 only. It's referred to as a spinner wheel.
I'm telling you, that really got my attention when I walked in. You know, that's just so Art Deco-y look, and you know, it's got that very unique streamline. I'm going fast even when I'm sitting still looking on a steering wheel, but. Way cool on the steering wheel. But the other thing that really set you guys off, though, is it's not just a motorhome. You've actually have a little trailer that you tow behind it while you were out there. What is that? Because it was a single wheel, correct?
Yes, we have it registered as a 1937 Prolat that was made by Peninsula Metals Products in Wisconsin, Wisconsin. And they're actually a pretty rare trailer, but, you know, it's less like anything else. When you think it's so rare, well, then, you know, more people come up with them.
Yeah, but, you know, it fit the piece of the coach itself, because the coach in itself looks very unique. The trailer did. You put those together, boy, you've got a rig going down the road. So I can only imagine how many people are hanging out of windows of their cars taking pictures of you while you're traveling.
A lot.
Yeah, I knew it.
We're thumbs up all the time.
I can only imagine. And I have to ask, an air horn hidden on that?
Of course.
Yeah. We got one.
I figured there had to be. It was just too good not to. Well, guys, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate you taking the time. You did an excellent job. It was absolutely a gorgeous motorhome to see out there. And hopefully we'll get to see you at the show there again. But, folks, you need to check out the pictures. It is on our website at pinkflamingorvradio.com. And it goes right along with Jerry and Char's appearance and their interview with Pink Flamingo. So check out the pictures. I guarantee you're going to look at it and be astounded at what they get to drive down the road. Guys, nice job. But thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate you taking the time. But folks, stick with us. There's more to come. This is Pink Flamingo RV Radio. We'll be right back.
2 Thumbs Up Media is a podcast directory and locator service based on show information published from the content creators themselves. We bring out media creators to discuss their shows as a supplement to the site directory. A great way for content creators to get the word out about their show, and a superb method for listeners to discover new shows which might interest them. If you are a content creator or just looking for new content, head over to 2thumbsupmedia.com.
And welcome back. Well, recently I'm sitting in a warehouse with a bunch of hardcore car guys. These are the guys that provide training information to the automotive industry via a Fortune 500 auto manufacturer. That gives you a clue about the depth of their knowledge when it comes to automobiles. All of a sudden, I hear the word from one of the guys over my shoulder, the word glamping. And it's like, really? And my head spins around, and it was probably the least likely guy that I would have ever heard the term from. Big guy. Not something that you expect to hear in a warehouse when you're talking about cars. And now he's showing pictures on his phone of, hey, this is where I go to camp. And it was like, okay, you've now got my attention. So I went over to him and I said, okay, I overheard the word glamping. He goes, yeah, this is where I go camping. So to tell more about that, because there is such a huge misconception about what glamping actually is, Joining us on the phone is my friend and the newest campground correspondent for Pink Flamingo RV Radio. Oh, and he's a manly man, so he's not worried about talking about going glamping. Happens to be Cliff Rosenberg. Cliff, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Tracy. How are you today?
I'm doing well. You know, because you saw the look on my face when you said glamping and I spun around. It was like, what? And this is a campground you go to that these people have now done what the trend is. They're putting vintage travel trailers on their property, and they have done them up in a fashion of very old and very inviting, and that's where you go camping. I think that's pretty cool. How did you find the place, and how often do you go there?
Well, it's an excellent place. Found it through one of those word-of-mouth things, as usually the best things are found. Friend of a friend mentioned it to somebody else, and I heard word of this place and had to go check it out. It just seemed like it was too cool not to pass up. I've been going there for about three times over the last 2 years, so I don't get away as often as I would like. But it's a great little place, nestled up in the Blue Ridge Mountains just outside of Asheville, and I love it. It's a great little place, reasonable rates, and you can't go wrong with it.
No, and you know, I looked on their site. They've got several vintage travel trailers over different properties that they actually operate, but I think this is where that misconception comes in about glamping. Everybody seems to think it's all frilly and lace and, you know, just for women, and it's not. This is taking vintage travel trailers, placing them on a property at a campground, and people can actually go and kind of reminisce about what that lifestyle was like back then, because these trailers are so unique, they're so popular now, and you don't have that cold, sterile atmosphere that you would get in an average hotel. So this is like camping without having to do it in a tent.
Exactly, but the great thing about it is you could still use a tent there, because they have two different yurts, if that's something that you're into, which are going to be a lot closer to being, obviously, in a tent than being in a travel trailer, but it's just a kind of a neat idea how they throw everything out there. They're old vintage trailers, as you mentioned. And, you get that little step back into time, but still have all those great modern amenities that most people are used to having with staying at a hotel somewhere.
Well, I made a list of some of the trailers that they have, and there's a wide variety here. They've got a very large, which is a 1952 Spartan Royal Spartanette. There's a 65 Airstream, a 69 Airstream, a 55 Spartan Mansion, not bad, a 66 Avion, a 58 Terry. I mean, it goes from the smallest, which is the 58 Terry, all the way up to the bigger Royal Spartans. So whether it's an individual or whether or not you've got a family, they can accommodate you in one of these old trailers, can't they?
Yes, absolutely. All different sizes, shapes, styles, whatever you'd like to find. They can pretty much accommodate anywhere from two, I believe, up to you can rent the whole campground at one of them. It would accommodate like 16 people. But everyone has their own little separate space. It's walled in. It's, some of them have hot tubs. Just an incredible wide variety. But like I said before, with all those great modern amenities, Wi-Fi, Netflix, all that stuff you would want to keep yourself entertained in case you can't find enough entertainment in Asheville.
Well, and these are not trailers that are non-functioning as far as anything beyond just sleeping. I mean, they're fully equipped with kitchens. They've got bathrooms. Some of the larger ones have the showers in them. And some of them even have wooden decks outside. And then they said they even supply you firewood for your campfires.
Yeah, it's pretty much a full-service setup. You show up, check in, show you to your place. They give you a quick tour in case you haven't been here before. And, everything is provided. Clean sheets, just like you'd want. You don't have to worry about bringing those from home. Firewood for the fire pit. If the site has a hot tub, it's a private hot tub just for that unit. So you can do a little romantic weekend away if that's what you're looking for. Yeah, everything is there for you. You literally only have to provide your own food.
You know, one of the things that you were showing on the pictures when you were showing them to the guys was the fact that, as you mentioned, the trailers have their own individual spaces. They actually have fencing in between. So it's not like you have to converse with your neighbor if you don't want to. You've got your own little private space, which I think is why most people go camping, to get away. So nice that they thought about that inside a larger campground.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the one that I've been to, the few times that I've been, has been the Silver Betty. I can't remember which model of trailer that is, but It's six sites set up over 3 acres. So you have plenty of room. I mean, even if the neighbors are having a few friends over for a little bit, it's not interfering with your good time. But you still have, there's an open kind of common area. If you so desire, you can go and hang out and kind of intermingle with the other people there. So it kind of gives you that best of both worlds. If you're wanting to be, you know, more social with everyone, you have that great opportunity like you would at most campsites. You can also have that kind of quiet little private retreat and if you just want to get away.
Okay, well, I've been to the Asheville area. I know what it's like, but for anyone who hasn't made it back there and they're thinking about making a trip that direction with their RV, or if they want to, you know, whether it's the RV or they're going to stay in a yurt or a tent or one of the trailers, can you give us some kind of an idea of what the area is like, what there is to do around there? I know there's some state parks and there's a lot of hiking. What else is there as far as things that you can go out and do once you're there at the campground?
Well, Asheville has been listed recently as Beer City USA. It has actually one of the fastest growing independent breweries in the area. So there's a ton of, if you like beer, which most of us do, there's a ton.
No secrets now, Cliff.
Great new breweries opening up. Oh, no, I won't give that away. But a ton of great new places opening up there. It's a great art scene in the Asheville area. You have things like the Biltmore Estate if you want to go see some historic homes and things like that. Beer Fest. There's the Blue Ridge Parkway runs right by there. Great place to go, especially for a wonderful drive in the fall when the leaves are changing. And then all the camping, hiking, biking, tubing down the French Broad River. I mean, it's a great area.
Yeah, you know, some of the pictures they posted on their sites, beyond just the trailers and the campsites themselves, but some of the local, you know, scenery and sites to take in, I was impressed. I mean, it's some of the area that I have never seen before when I've been back there. So I think for anyone that has not been to that area, you know, it's definitely a to-do kind of place, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It's, you know, what seems like a little vacation destination years ago when I was growing up has now become a fairly booming little city that offers a little bit of everybody. Anybody can find something to do there. If you like the outdoors in any way, shape, or form, fantastic area.
Well, and it is one of the areas that scenic-wise, it's where the leaves change color. It's absolutely gorgeous there that time of year, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's even if I can't get a room or something booked up there, luckily where I live is only a few hours away. And, yeah, take a day, drive up through the area, take a spin on the Blue Ridge Parkway, take in the fall colors. There's plenty of great little overlooks. Take in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and even another hour or so to the west, you can be into the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and enjoy all that has to offer as well.
Well, it sounds like an awesome place. The pictures that I've seen from their specific campground, they look great. And the fact that they've got vintage trailers there, for anyone that has never experienced one, you need to stay in a vintage trailer. It is unlike anything you've ever done before. I want to give their website. It is Asheville, Asheville, glamping, and that's glamping. So it's AshevilleGlamping.com. If you want to give them a call at their campground, it is 828-450-9745, and their email is actually via their website. So once you go there, there's a contact page, and you can send them an email or shoot them one by doing that. But Cliff, I appreciate you telling us about it. I was shocked when I heard it come from you, but we had to talk about this just due to the fact what a great location, and from somebody that's been there several times. I appreciate you taking the time, buddy.
Not a problem, Tracy. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, thanks. Hey, when you're out in another place, check it out, because we're going to need you to talk about some other campgrounds here in the future.
That sounds great. I'll be happy to be back.
Perfect. Thanks, buddy. Hey, folks, stick with us. There's more to come. This is Pink Flamingo RV Radio, the voice of the RV industry. We'll be right back.
The Modern Life Podcast Network focuses on technology, lifestyle, business, sports, and culture. Our modern lives can be hectic, demanding one day and relaxing the next. Our hosts discuss the issues facing our modern lives and provide the answers and ideas to make the journey through life and business a bit easier. Find your new favorite podcast at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Modern issues, modern discussions.
And welcome welcome back. Well, you know, we talk about a lot of different campers on this show, whether it be vintage campers, whether or not it's travel trailers, you know, slide-in campers, whatever the case may be. There is one model of camper that's been on the road for 7 decades now, and it's gone through updates throughout the years. However, it remains being one of those very simple, compact, fuel-efficient vehicles. You're kind of getting the take here. It's motorized. It's had its definitive decades that it's gone through, you know, specific followings, and that was in the 60s and 70s. It was known as the hippie van. And then there are enthusiasts today that are still continuing to find these vehicles, really drag them out of some really poor conditions, and try to get them back on the road, not necessarily just as a driving vehicle, but also as the camper. Well, yours truly was actually part of this whole cult and the cult following back in the 70s and 80s. I had one. And yes, we are talking about the VW bus. They've been around, as I said, 7 decades now, actually 8 if you count some of the 1949 prototypes that were out there. But to learn more about VW buses and campers, we have an expert who is in the VW world. He was actually on show number 35 of Pink Flamingo RV Radio, and we discussed his 1959 Tempo Matador Macafa Land Yacht. You might want to look that one up on our website, too. Joining us on the phone happens to be Randy Carlson. Randy, how you been?
I'm doing great, Tracy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, thanks. You know, when we saw you and we talked about your land yacht, I learned back then that you were a VW guy and you are heavily into Volkswagens. And with everything that I'm following, which I've still got a soft spot in my heart for VWs and campers and the buses, no matter what style, I figured it was best to come to you. You were just recently at a very large Volkswagen bus camping event, and I thought we could talk a little bit about that. Where was it, and how big of an event was it this year?
Well, sure. Yeah, this weekend we had a 4-day camping event. Actually, it was more of a 5-day thing, although I was there for 4 days, out at Prado Regional Park in Chino, California. And it's something that a Volkswagen club has kind of a supporting campout event for a big week of VW events here in Southern California called the VW Classic. And over the years, it's kind of morphed into a bigger event itself than the show that it supported. And it's turned into this massive campout that, you know, builds as the week progresses and then climaxes with a massive VW show on the Sunday. And we showed up Wednesday, set up camp, and hung out there for the duration. And it was absolutely fantastic event. I think I haven't seen any official numbers, but I'd say there were probably around 800, 900 VWs there.
Holy moly.
Big event.
Wow. You know, I saw some of your pictures that you posted on Facebook, and I was impressed. I mean, you had some nice vehicles out there, and there were some other vehicles that I saw that you had also posted, but I would not have guessed that many people. And the fact that here we just talked about in the opening, 7, 8 decades, if you really want to go back and push it, that VW buses have been out there camping. And here, look at all the ones that they're dragging out of virtually swamps and, you know, forests and everything else. And they're being returned back to just absolutely gorgeous vehicles. And they're turning them back into campers again. Did you see a lot more campers out there than what we've been seeing recently?
Well, I don't know if there were necessarily more campers than I see at a normal event, but being as this was a camping event, there were definitely more campers being used. And that's one of the things I'm seeing here in the U.S. with VW events is there's a growing bunch of camping events where people can really hang out for a weekend and enjoy each other's company and also enjoy their VWs. Throughout Europe and England and other parts of the world, there's a lot of festival-type events where people come and camp out with their VWs. You know, you go to a show in England and there's a massive, massive field full of campers out there of all different generations of VWs. And it's a huge event. That's starting to catch on over here, I'm seeing. And this Prado event was very much a European style event where people go and they camp out, they hang out for the weekend, they have the car show, they have the raffle, they have some other things going on. But really, in the end, it's all about the people, and it's just the car that brings them together.
So the U.S. is really, again, on the back end of what has been a trend over in Europe for a very long time. Obviously, there's probably more buses surviving there than ever were shipped here.
Well, the one thing that's been kind of interesting watching the market for VW buses, which is something I'm pretty deeply involved with, is over the past, I'd say, 10, 15 years or so, there's been a massive flood of VW buses leaving the U.S. and going to Europe and England. Part of that has been based on exchange rate. It's been a profitable thing to do. But more than anything, it has something to do with the culture over there. In England, they love to travel. They love to camp. It's very much a big thing over there. And the VW bus, being something you can actually park in your garage, turn the key and drive rather than hitching up to, makes it a real attractive thing. Plus, there's a carefree lifestyle that kind of follows the VW bus thing, that aura, the whole hippie van thing. All of that just relaxes you. And it all fits in well with the camping lifestyle. You get smiles on the road, you get your everything self-contained in that one little spot, and it's a cool thing.
Well, so let me ask, do you think with the following that Volkswagens have, which has grown exponentially over the last couple of decades, do you think people are looking for that simpler lifestyle, maybe going back in time, reminiscing?
Well, I think there's always been a drive for that. I mean, camping has always been a thing. Even more so, I think, today with our extremely fast-paced, media-pushed, crazy, constant input lifestyle that we have, breaking away from all of that and going and sitting with your camper under a tree with a cold beer sounds really, really good.
Sounds good right now. I'm ready.
Yeah.
So what are you seeing mostly out there when it comes to VW buses, and especially in the campers? Are they the split screens, 67 and prior, or are they going into later Vanagons or the later Westfalias, or Westies as everybody calls them?
Well, really all different generation of VW camper has its following. The values of the early VW buses, the split screen stuff, have really increased to pretty high levels. I brought a VW camper, a 1961 Westfalia, out to the show. And that was a vehicle that I sold for a client recently for $80,000. This is a lot of money for a Volkswagen bus. And not everybody can, afford that or would want to go camping in something like that and also be stuck going 45, 50 miles an hour to their destination in it. So the usable campers always seem to be a little newer than that. Obviously, the newer that you get, the less cool factor they have, and the more away from the kind of hippie lifestyle and the fun laid back deal that the early campers have. But really, all of them have a following. Late model ones as well as the ones in between.
Well, it's funny because I'm with you. I kind of like the split screens. That was the era I grew up in. I had a 66, and I didn't really care for any of the later buses. When they went to the one piece windshield. And now I look at a lot of those and I drool over those now. Obviously, as I'm getting older, my tastes are changing and those are all nostalgic too.
Oh, very much so. And they're also a lot easier to justify when they're, a half or a third the price of the early one. They get much cooler when you can afford them.
Exactly. Well,
that's a part of it.
Look at some of these that have crossed the auction block that we've seen recently, over $100,000 on a bus. Here you just talk about $80,000, $85,000. Our one sponsor up in Vegas happens to be the Auto Collections. There have been a couple of bus campers up there that have been over $100,000. So that is not... Even though it's an outrageous number, it's not uncommon anymore.
Well, it's true. I mean, it needs to be a really extremely well-restored one in order to bring that kind of money, or one that has some historical significance or a certain bit of rarity. But the fact remains that, that icon, that VW bus icon that is wedged in everybody's head from, the Summer of Love and the whole 60s, it's there. And, those people that have the money that want the thing get the thing. So there's far few of them out there for sale than, there are people that want them. So supply and demand does its deal.
Well, hey, we've only got about a minute left, Randy. So I just want to ask you, are there any barn doors out there?
Well, the barn door buses are really tough to find. That's all 55 or older. And if you're looking for a camper, I mean, that was experimental stage stuff for VW.
Definitely.
So to actually find a barn door camper, that's kind of holy grail stuff.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't know whether or not maybe that one occasional one showed up out there. You know, you see them online, you see them in the magazines, but I didn't know if you saw them out camping.
No, I didn't see anything quite that early out there, but without a doubt, there's a barn somewhere holding one that's waiting for me to find it.
Well, I noticed waiting for you to find it, not just general public. But hey, I wish you the best on finding that. But hey, before we go, I just want to make sure that if anybody wants to check out what you do, which you have a wide variety of tastes and everything with all the vehicles you have, they can check you out for Volkswagens at oldbug.com. That's your website. And you've got some good stuff on there. Hey, and I got to ask real quick before we go, because we're out of time, but how did you end up with the wrought iron bug?
Well, the wrought iron beetle kind of found me. The builder of that car originally had done a number of them, of which I've had a couple over the years. And he passed away midway through the build of the one I had at the show.
Huh.
And the family sourced me out and asked me if I would take it on and finish it off. And so I've done that and brought it to its first show at the Prado event. And very quickly, I'm going to bring it back up to the family in Santa Barbara and share it with them so they can reminisce about the builder. And then it's going to go off to a new home to Volkswagen dealership back east.
Oh, very good. Well, way cool. A piece of iconic Volkswagen, you know, memorabilia that you've got there. But hey, Randy, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. And I look forward to talking to you again. Again, folks, it is oldbug.com. But you got any more camping planned with like the land yacht or anything?
Well, yeah, I'm going to be bringing the Macafa land yacht out to a couple of events here. I'm going to go up to the Pebble Beach Week with it, and going to be displayed at the Quail on the lawn with all the polished people and
wow.
Supercars and things like that. So that vehicle's kind of going on to its own fame, and I'm just riding along with it, I guess.
Well, nice that you have that opportunity, and boy, what a nice piece that thing is. So, hey, but Randy, thanks again for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Tracy. Thank you so much.
Hey, folks, if you want to check out VW Bugs, go to Randy's site, which is oldbug.com. He also has buses on there and Ghias and virtually everything else. There you have it. Another week is done and gone. So until then, travel safe, enjoy the RV lifestyle. We'll see you next week.